Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message. It says they came to the other side. Oh, I figured I'd get a little more excitement. If you were last week, you'd be a little more excited that. I may start singing the Rolling Stones this morning. We're going to break on through to the other side. Come on, y'all. They came to the other side of the sea in the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. And the man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with chains. For he had often been bound with shackles for the feet and with chains, and he tore apart the chains and broke the shackles into pieces. And no one was strong enough to subdue and tame him. Night and day he was constantly screaming and shrieking among the tombs and on the mountains and cutting himself with sharp stones. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him in homage. And screaming with a loud voice, he said, "What business do we have in common with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me." For Jesus had been saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." He was asking him, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he began begging him repeatedly not to send them out of the region. Now there was a large herd of pigs grazing there on the mountain, and the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs so that we may go into them." Jesus gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs. The herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea, and they were drowned in the sea. The herdsmen tending the pigs ran away and reported in the city, in the country, and the people came to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus. I'm going to go ahead and read that one more time. And the people came to see what happened, and they came to Jesus. One more time. Come on. And the people came to see what happened, and they came to Jesus and saw the man who had been demon-possessed sitting down, clothed in his right mind, the man who had the legion, and they were frightened. God, we thank you for your word, that it's a lamp unto our feet, that it's a light unto our path. Lord, I pray for revelation to come in the room, deliverance to come in the room. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Well, look at your neighbor and say, God's got something big for you this morning. Come on, say it proud. Look at your other neighbor and say, "Neighbor, once again, you are my second choice." All right. If you're offended, take him to lunch. Praise God. Well, I'm so glad. Thank you, worship team. Let's give our worship team a hand. Didn't they do awesome? Find me here in your presence. Well, happy Mother's Day. I'm preaching on the Madman of Gadara. Come on. Pastor Brandy, I asked her last Sunday, I said, "Now, Pastor Brandy, I'd love for you to preach next week." And she said, "No, I want you to." I said, "Well, if I preach, I'm preaching on the Madman of Gadara." She said, "You can't do that." And I said, "I'm preaching. I'll preach on whatever I want to." All right? But I do want to put a Mother's Day twist on this, because how many of y'all know, how many of y'all have ever felt like your son or daughter may haven't been like the Madman of Gadara, but they've had some traits like the Madman of Gadara? Let me just see a show of hands from all the mothers out there. All right. We got a whole bunch of liars and a few people telling the truth right over here. But I want to put a twist on this. This is found in the book of Mark. And I love the book of Mark. In fact, in your Bible, it's the second gospel. It goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all of them. Maybe sometime we'll talk about who they were wrote to and who wrote them and things like this. But this is Saint Mark. This is actually, his name is John Mark. And John Mark, he had a mother named Mary. He had an uncle named Barnabas who ran with Paul. And we see in Scripture how important this Mark Scripture is. In fact, when you read 1 Peter, there's a couple times that Peter refers to his spiritual son, who is John Mark. And John Mark is the one who's the writer of this first gospel, actually. It went Mark, then Matthew, then Luke, and then we know the Apostle John, who walked in the footsteps with Jesus, he wrote John, he was the last one to write it. But Matthew and Luke, history tells us this, because the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that Mark had to write the Gospel of Mark, Matthew and Luke began to write theirs. But the first one that was wrote was Mark. What's interesting about Mark, his mother Mary, his home is the home of the upper room. I hope you mamas get this morning. In John chapter 13, we see where Jesus washed the feet of the disciples' feet. We see, and that happened in a room, and we know that it happened in the crucible, which was Mary's house, Mark's house, where there was an impact that happened from the washing of the disciples' feet of humility. We see in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, where he talks about the Holy Spirit, how it's going to come and be poured out on you, the helper. How many of y'all thankful for the Holy Spirit this morning? That is our helper. That happened in the living room of Mark's home. In John chapter 17, where Jesus prays his priestly prayer, that happened in the home of Mark's house. We see in John, at the end of John, when all the disciples are running behind barred doors in fear of the Jews, it happened in Mary's home. We know in Acts chapter 1, when they're waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, it says in Acts 1:8, "And you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and the uttermost parts of the earth." In Acts chapter 2, when the Bible tells us of the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit is poured out in the upper room, which is Mary's living room, I'm painting a picture for you this morning. In Acts chapter 4, when the whole room is shaken, it was in Mary's living room. In Acts chapter 12, when they're praying for Peter to get busted out of prison, and supernaturally he gets out, and where does he go? He goes to the living room of Mary, which is the mother of Mark, which is the one that we're reading from today, that was an inspiration to the other writers of the gospel. And there's a reason that he was inspired. In fact, there's a reason he wrote the things that Peter taught him, was because he had a mama that welcomed Jesus into her home. Come on, I hope you mamas get that this morning. We're to raise giant killers. We're to raise kids in our living rooms, mamas. Don't let your babies grow up to be a skipper from church. You have them in the house of God. You pull their hair. You pull their ears. You get them in the house of God. Because in God's presence is fullness of joy. Amen. It's life forevermore is what the Bible says. So we're reading from the book of Mark. Happy Mother's Day. It may be the madman of Gadara, but the writer was changed because he was in a home that he had a mama and he had an uncle that welcomed the presence of God inside of their home. How many of y'all want to have a living room that it's welcome to the presence of God inside of your house? Amen. Thank God for upper room. I want my prayer for upper room memories in my living room. Amen. Upper room memories in my living room. Now let's go to this book that Mark writes, Mark chapter 5. And a lot of you know, have heard this story. Maybe you were in VBS, heard about this story. Good way to scare kids. It's a great story to teach children. But I remember as a kid, I grew up in a very, godly home. And I remember there'd be times where when you're at Walmart. How many of y'all have ever seen the Madman of Gadara at Walmart? Let me just see. All right, praise the Lord. I know I've seen them there. But what I love about this text, the way it starts off, he says, they came to the other side. They came to the other side. What were they doing? They were expanding territory. They came to the other side. See, what we saw last week in Mark chapter 4 is Jesus said in the beginning of the text in verse 35, let us go over to the other side. If God said it, if God be for me, then who in the world can be against me? If God said it, it don't matter how many storms or how many devils in hell come against me. If God said I'm getting to the other side, I'm standing on the promises of God, are yes and amen. Just to see this in Scripture, it reminds me of no matter what storm I'm going through, no matter what lawyers have told me, no matter what doctors have told me, no matter what constant negative news has told me, if we're getting to the other side, how many of y'all believe we're getting to the other side? That fires me up because we saw in the text before of it was a big storm and how He rebuked the wind and he hushed the water. He said, shh, to all the distractions of everything. And they come to the other side. And I'm just here to tell you, if you're going to expand your territory and go to some new places and new depths and new heights, I'm here to tell you right now that if you're going to go there, you're going to have some storms that you're going to have to go through. I love this because it not only shows that he takes care of the storms, but walking in the footsteps of Jesus, he's already made a way when there seems to be no way. And as we've been talking about this, I just want to remind you that he is the healer. I want to remind you that he's the dead raiser. I want to remind you that he's the storm calmer. I want to remind you he's the water walker. I want to remind you that he's the multiplier. Not subtraction, not division, but he is the multiplier, and he is the deliverer. That reminds me. Thank you, Holy Ghost. In 1 Peter chapter 2, this is 1 Peter chapter 2. Make sure I'm in 1 Peter here. But it says in verse 21, it says, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you may follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, nor was deceit ever found in his mouth." He's already made a way. He's already paved the trail. And so looking at this particular text here, I believe we need to hold on to every word. He's going into a region of the Gerasenes. He's going to a new place that he's never been before. How many of y'all, God has put a dream on the inside of your heart of new places that you're supposed to go? I'm just here to tell you, if it's from God, there's going to be an every devil in hell is going to stop you from fulfilling the dream God has put inside of your heart. But I'm here to tell you, if God be for you, then who in the world can be against you? Amen? And so it says they came to the other side. In verse 2, it says, when Jesus got out of the boat. What I love about this, when I read this, so I've been on this journey of looking at these stories and all the things and walking in his footsteps. There's things that he shows us in Scripture. Luke doesn't record this part, but Mark does, of when Jesus got out of the boat. See, last week we ended it with this. In the middle of the storm, it's so easy to go back to the other side where it was comfortable. Amen? In the middle of the storm, it's like, you know what? I don't have to have this in my life. I can go back to where it was easy, where everybody got along. Let's just stay where we are. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus was inside of the boat and they got to the other side. But the thing that you also have to be careful of is not just going back to where you were, but staying inside the boat. See, if God put a dream inside of your heart in the middle of the storm, it's so easy to just get comfortable inside the boat. But I'm here to tell you this morning, if you're going to step out in faith, you need to get out of the boat. Am I helping you this morning? There's some of you, you've gotten through the storm, but after the storm, you got stagnant and stayed instead of following the dream God had for you. You stayed where you were. It got comfortable inside of the boat. But Jesus, the fact that he got out of the boat, and what I love about this is Jesus never stops pursuing us. Amen. How many of y'all thankful for that? Even in your sin, even in the place of muddy waters that you've been in, God is still pursued after you. When Jesus got out of the boat, immediately, everybody say immediately. Jesus got out of the boat. Acts 10:38 tells us this, that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. And he went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. It tells us in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He got out of the boat and he was pursuing something. See, the enemy tried to stop him in a storm because he was a man on a mission to get to the other side because there was someone in there that needed his help. I hope you're getting the picture. I'm trying to paint a picture for you this morning. Immediately, without delay, a man from the tombs. Now, I want you to write that down if you're taking some notes this morning. A man from the tombs. It says it three different times. If it was tombs, that means he had death on the brain. That means he was at a place where dead people were. He was at a burial place. What's the Bible saying? John 10 and verse 10, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. How many of y'all know this morning that the enemy wants to have death on the brain? That's why suicide, I'll tell you straight up right now, you need to know that it is not of God and it is from the devil. It made me sad to see that I heard the report on the radio the other day. There was like 520-something deaths of suicide inside the military and only 20 from COVID. 520. There's an adversary that come to steal, to kill, and destroy. He's trying to paint a picture to us. A man among the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. He was unclean with an unclean spirit. You know what this tells us in the Greek? This doesn't mean that he had a spirit on him. That means the spirit had control of him. Not that it was on him, and I don't know how it came on him. I don't know where it came from. I don't know that if his grandmama's mama's mama had an evil spirit and it was a generational curse. How many of y'all believe you can have a generational curse over your life? But how many of you know the Son of God, the Son of Man can break whatever bondage your grandpappy's pappy's pappy had on you? I don't know what kind of door this man had open in his life. I don't know any of those things. I don't know if his mama was crazy, but or he might have had a mama that was believing God for him. And so he had an unclean spirit. It means he did not have one. The spirit had him. Verse 3, it said the man lived in the tombs. He's really trying to paint a picture. He had death on the brain, and no one could bind him. That word bind means to restrict, to imprison. It means around his wrist anymore, but not even with chains, handcuffs to the hands. Verse 4, these scriptures are describing him, and then we'll really break through to what God is trying to show us this morning. Verse 4, it says, for he had often been bound with shackles around the feet. He had chains on the feet. The enemy at this point, I hope you see this morning, he had him on his hands, he had him on his feet, but the Bible says him with chains, and he tore apart the chains and broke the shackles into pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue and to tame him. That means that word tore there. It tore apart the chains. That means to tear in half the chains. That word right there, broke the shackles, means smashing of grapes and bones, where if he couldn't rip them apart, he would break his own bones to get out of there. I'm really trying to paint a picture for you this morning. And it says tame. No one could tame him. This is like a word that to domesticate someone, to bring under control. It's like lions and tigers and bears. Amen. But no one could domesticate those. Nobody could do it. It's like there was those kinds of people in his life that tried to bring him under control, but they couldn't do it. And then we get to verse 5. It says, night and day. Everybody say night and day. That means 24 hours a day in the tombs, he was constantly screaming and shrieking among the tombs. This is 3 times now that it's talked about death had grabbed a hold of his life. And on the mountains, cutting himself with sharp stones. You know, it got popular when I was a youth pastor. It may still be popular today where kids, you remember this, Levi, where they'd take razor blades and they would make cuts on their arm. And they were just trying to get attention from people. I remember at youth camp one year, I had a word for a young lady. I had no clue of her, of what was going on. And I say, I see scrapes. I could see it as clear as day by the Spirit of God. I see marks, wounds. Y'all remember this? I see them all over you. It's demonic. It's not of God. I want to tell you, that's why, parents, you ought to throw a fit inside of your home if you find your kid trying to hurt himself. That is not of God. Do you hear me this morning? You may think that it's innocent, but that is a door that the enemy is trying to get inside of your home. Come on, you put an end to it with the authority God has put on the inside of you as a mama and a daddy. There will be no pain. Pain comes from the enemy. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but God comes to give life and life more abundantly. So let me paint the picture. He gets out of the boat, and here comes this man that no one could tame him. So think about this. No religious person could get him under control. No prison guard could get him under control. No animal tamer could get him under control. Not even himself. No one could help him. He had chains. He had broken his hands to get free. He had broken his feet to get free. He had wild hair, pulled out his hair. He had bruises all over his body. The Luke chapter 8 talks about he was a naked man. Jesus gets out of the boat, and here comes this person. Now, I want you, this is what the Lord showed me as I was beginning to think about this. The enemy will always paint a picture in your head to think that you're winning. Oh, this is okay. He'll put compromise inside of your mind to say, oh, this is okay. Everybody does it. See, with him breaking the chains and breaking the shackles, what were they trying to do? They were trying to bind him, but they couldn't bind him. So in his mind, through the enemy, made him think that he was winning. I want to tell you, you got to be careful what the enemy tries to paint in your mind. Just because you got away with it doesn't mean you're winning. Hear me out this morning. Just because you got away with it, nobody knows anything, but I'm here to tell you what was done in the dark will be brought to the light. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap, is what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that your sin will find you out. And the enemy will always paint a picture inside of your head to say, you know what, you broke the chains, you won. You broke the shackles, you won. The tamer couldn't tame you, you won. Are you getting me this morning? But just because you may winning in the area inside, around everybody, it may look good, you are losing in life. Am I helping y'all this morning? Come on, I hope you get this inside of your spirit. Because there's especially something around the Church of America today that says, oh, it's okay. It's all right. How many of y'all know the steps of a righteous man or a good man are ordered of the Lord? We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by the principles and teachings of the Word of God. Everything in this scripture is showing us something. The enemy thought he was winning. But what I love about it, I mean, this is a crazy person. This is like the Tasmanian devil. And Jesus shows up on the scene. Come on, I hope you get this in your heart this morning. There ain't no religion that can help you. Only Jesus of Nazareth can help you. There ain't no animal tamer that can help you. Only Jesus of Nazareth. Come on, there ain't no Dr. Phil that can help you. Only Jesus of Nazareth. Oprah Winfrey, come on. She's out of the picture. How many of y'all know it's Jesus of Nazareth? Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Come on, you ought to raise your voice this morning. Jesus shows up on the scene. You know, they think of all these Republicans and all these Democrats and all these different people who are going to save America. I'm here to tell you, America, put this on YouTube. The only way that America can be saved is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. So verse chapter 6, it says, Jesus, oh, this is where it gets good. Are y'all ready? It says, seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him in homage. Seeing Jesus. Oh, man. You know what? It's so important to me. Normally, devils run from Jesus, but this time, this one ran to Jesus. I hope you see the picture here. This young man, he is running from death. And what is he running to? He's running to life. He's running from being bound and running to freedom. He's running from pain and he's running towards somebody who has paid it all in full. He ran down. See, I want to tell you this morning, the enemy don't mind when you come in here and be a spectator. But I'm here to tell you, when you go from spectating to, he got it, participating. I'm telling you, the enemy gets scared. I don't care how much pride you got. I don't care how much of a rough and tough cowboy you are. I'm telling you, the enemy will freak out He don't mind that you come to the house of God, but when you become a spectator, I'm telling you, things will begin to be broken off of you. Participator. What does he want you to do? He wants you to be a spectator. Come on, I'm talking to some people this morning that come in here like a bump on the log, and I'm so thankful that you're in the house of God, but I'm telling you, you want to be set free. You lift your hands freely. You open up to the Lord, and you run to Jesus, whom the Son sets free. It's free indeed. I don't care who you are. That's good preaching. And it don't matter where you are. It don't matter what you're doing. I want to tell you this morning, I used to think for years, there's lots of you, and it's so important that we connect together and get in unity and pray the power of agreement. Is it 1106? Holy wow, you did tell me to preach long. I'm doing it because we're only on verse 6 here. But it don't matter where you are. You can be in United, run to Jesus. And the biggest lie the enemy will tell you, he may have told you inside of your head that you're winning. I'm telling you, you run to Jesus. You want to be set free? You run to Jesus. You want freedom inside of your home? You run to Jesus. You want freedom inside of your area? You run to Jesus. You want freedom inside of your home? Come on, you run to Jesus. And he ran to Jesus. Normally devils run, but this time he ran to him. Romans 14:11 says, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. See, even the enemy knows to bow down to Jesus. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So in verse 7 it says, screaming with a loud voice, he said, what business do we have in common with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Now I want to paint the picture to you. The disciples are standing back. These herdsmen for these pigs were standing back. They had been affected, these herdsmen been. They knew who he this madman was. And here comes Jesus. Nowhere in Mark that I read up until chapter 5, they did not know he was the Son of God. But I'll tell you who did, Satan. Every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They had seen power on his life. In fact, they said they were filled with great fear. Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey? They still were confused. But I'll tell you who's not confused, the enemy. That's why it's so important that you have Jesus on the inside of you. What I love about it, he says that, Jesus, Son of the Most High God. And then he says, I implore you by God, do not torment me. When I read this word implore you, it made me excited because this is a religious petition. This ain't just a word of the flesh. This is a religious word that the enemy says to him. This is like the day the devil prayed. You know, the enemy even knows scripture. That's another way that he can make you win. He can use something to make it fit for your little area of sin. He said, I implore you. See, we know it from the Word of God. Jesus was tempted, led by the Spirit into the wilderness by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He said, fall off of this mountain. He said, doesn't the Bible say, this is the enemy speaking, that he'd keep his angels charge over you and keep you in all your ways. But Jesus comes back and says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He said, I implore you. And then he goes on to say, he said, I implore you, do not torment me. What is he saying? Don't torture me. And then it comes to verse 8. It says, for Jesus had been saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. Now get this morning. You want freedom in your life? You want freedom in your home? This word saying doesn't mean that he said, come out of man, you unclean spirit. You know what the Greek means? It means he said it and he kept on saying it. He said it and he kept on saying it. Some of y'all is going to get it in a minute. He said it and he kept on saying it. What does it say in Mark chapter 11? Mark 11, 23 and 24. It says, I assure you, most assuredly saw and say to you, Whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says is going to take place, it will be done for him. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received them, and he will give them to you. Come on, you ought to be excited for that this morning. He said, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he asked him, he said, what is your name? Isn't it something? You got to paint the picture here. Here is this madman, and he's saying, I implore to you by God, do not torment me. My name is Legion, for we are many. So Jesus, even though there's 6,000 of him coming out, Legion is 6,000. The only time you use the word legion is because of an army over 6,000 soldiers. I want to tell you, you're not just up against nobody of an enemy. You're up against a strategic enemy that has a plan of attack for you. You ought to have a plan of pursuit of victory for yourself. He has a strategy to come against you. But what does he say? He says, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he still is talking. Isn't it the same way inside of our head when we may be tempted to do something? You need to say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. But you ought to do this and you ought to do that. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. Shut up, devil. I can do. I kept saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it. See, if you keep saying it, you get louder than the enemy. If you keep saying it, you'll believe it inside of your heart. If you keep saying it, I am successful. I have the favor of God on my life. Come on, why am I excited? Because I want believers to get this. You've been listening to the lie of the enemy. You've been listening to him. But I'm here to tell you, you got to say it once. You got to say it twice. You got to say it three times. Say it in the morning and say it at night. Night and day the enemy came against him. Night and day you need to say, come out of me in Jesus' name. Night and day you need to say, come out of me in Jesus' name. What is your name? What is your mountain? Because I'm here to tell you, there ain't no name higher than the name of Jesus. He said, what is your name? He's trying to pinpoint to him. What does it tell us in John chapter 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's saying, your name ain't nothing to my name. Come out of the man. What is your name? Come out of the man. What is your name? Come out of the man. What is your name? Repetition over and over. Don't dip in the Jordan one time. Dip in the Jordan seven times. Don't go around Jericho once. Go around Jericho seven times. See, I hope you get it in your spirit this morning, not just to be obedient, but to be repetitive. Because he's going to come back again. And when he does, you do the same thing you did before. You keep saying it over and over and over. My kids are the righteousness of God in Christ. My kids have the mind of Christ. My kids, you will keep your angels charge over me. I'm going to tell you, 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given me a spirit of fear. Come on, this last year when somebody, the enemy tried to get inside of your head, God has not given me a spirit of fear. Yeah, I know that's going on, but God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Are you guys getting something out of this morning? And he began begging him repeatedly not to send them out of the region. The enemy don't care about you. He just cares about your territory. Come on, get this in your heart this morning. He don't care about you. He cares about the territory. So that tells me, Mom and Dad, just because it came off of you doesn't mean it's out of your house. Just because it got off of you, I've seen parents before got delivered of a sex sin. But they weren't careful. There was still doors open inside of their house that it got on side of their children. And even though he had been set free for 10 years, there were still doors that were open inside of his house. See, the enemy don't care about you. There are some things you can get it off of you. But if you're not careful, it will stay in your region. That's why it made me so stinking mad this week when Sleepy Joe... Get mad if you want to, but I'm going to tell you, it should upset you as a believer on the National Day of Prayer that he doesn't even acknowledge Jesus, Savior, Lord, a divine being. And in the first time in 70 years, no prayer in the White House, I'm telling you, he don't care about him. He cares about the region of Washington, D.C. He don't care about you. He don't care about you. Neither does Sleepy Joe, but whatever. I'm talking about the enemy. Same thing, whatever. Moving on. Put that on YouTube. That's why it's so important. You may right off the bat when I read this morning, I don't have a madman at Gadara in my house. I'm telling you, he didn't become the madman overnight. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things. He said the demons begged him, saying, send us into the pigs. See, and you know, as I read, I've been reading Book of Mark here, and like I told you, this history in Mark chapter 6, when he walks on water, they said, I see a ghost. I promise you, in their head, they're thinking, those pigs are in this water. That's just a side note. That was a freebie. You can pay me later. But get this morning. He didn't care about him. He just wanted to stay there. There's deliverance that may have came to you, but I'm telling you as moms and dads this morning on Mother's Day, don't leave doors open inside of your house. Be careful what you watch. Be careful how you talk. Be careful of the little things that you may think that's not that big of a deal. I'm telling you, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. God wanted me to tell you this morning, he don't care about mess little Sally. He cares about just staying inside the house, in the region. Do you guys see this morning? But this is the best part right here. Jesus gave them permission. It's the only way it'd work. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the unclean spirit came out and entered the pigs. The herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank in the sea, and they were drowned. See, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The pigs didn't have anything in them to come against it. They have no natural ability to come against this spirit. And what did they want to do with the man amongst the tombs? Death was on the brain. By the mercy and grace of God, he was even still alive. It choked him out in the sea. Right away, what did he want to do? He wanted to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But this is the best part. The herdsmen. We know that this is a whole new territory because these are Gentiles. We don't even know this because it says Gentiles, but we know this because the only way you can have pigs is if you are a Gentile. We know that he's in a whole new territory. But it says, and the people came to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus. Let's stand to our feet this morning. And the people came to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus. I'm going to say it one more time, and I hope you get this in your heart this morning. And the people came to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus. Hey, you want revival in America? That's why we need to preach the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about the baddest, meanest dude that you know in your area or whoever it is in your life. I'm telling you, that's why it's so important that we let the light of Christ live on the inside of us. That's why we never have a service without giving the opportunity for people to admit, to believe, and confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because you want an area to come to Jesus, you preach the good news. You want an area to come to Jesus, you preach deliverance. You want an area to come to Jesus, you see signs, wonders, and miracles. You want revival in the land. Come on, how many of y'all want revival in the land? Oh, that fired something up on the inside of me. So much. My prayer is revival. Not only in here, but in the schools. And as I read that, here comes a man who is healed, that's delivered. The Bible says he was in a right mind. That means total salvation came over him. There's some of you that you've answered this altar call, and I can tell you, you're still not in a right mind. You know what I see here? I learned this from Brother Daniel. I can always tell the ones that have had true deliverance because they don't even talk about it. I'm done. No more. It's not even a part of my life anymore. I don't think about it anymore. This guy in the right mind, that means he was totally, totally, totally saved. How many of y'all are believing for your sons and your daughters to be totally, totally, totally saved? Come on, how many of y'all believe in God for your aunts and uncles to be totally, totally, totally saved? How many of y'all believing for Congress to be totally, totally, totally saved? How many of y'all believing for the House of Representatives to be totally, totally, totally saved? Come on, you think it may be, you may think that there's no way. See, everybody thought the same thing with this cat. There's no way. Religious people, prisoners, animal tamers, nobody could do it. And we may seem to think the same thing about America today. I'm telling you, well, there is a way, and his name is Jesus. There is a way, and his name is Jesus. There is a way, and his name is Jesus. I'm telling you this morning, that fired something up on the inside of me when the people came to see. When people come to see you, do they see Jesus on the inside of you? The way you talk, the way you live your life inside of your home, the way you work. Do you have a home life and a work life? Is your work life a different from being in the house of God? Wednesday, I was at a guy's house. I could see that he was having trouble walking. Before I even trimmed a foot, I said, Mark 16 tells us this. Believers can lay hands on the sick and that they shall recover. And you know, that morning I had struggled with my shoulder was killing me. It's fun getting older. I've only shod 1 billion horses. But that morning I prayed, but I'm telling you, the power of God hit that barn. He said, do you feel that? I said, of course. Isn't it addicting? Right here in the barn. Come on, right here in United. Right here at the gas station. Right here in Walmart. I know there's devils at Walmart. Definitely devils at Target. I'm telling you, the power of God. The rest of the day, I was glory, glory to God. If it didn't hit him, it hit me. But he called me. He said, man, I haven't been better in several months. Thank you so much for praying for me. It's the power of God going to operation. I'm telling you, people ought to see Jesus on you. Because when people see Jesus on you, they came. He went, get this in your heart. He went across the region to the other side. The devil thought to himself, I'll stop him with the storm. He couldn't stop him with the storm. And then he couldn't stop him with the man. He said, I want to stay right here. But you know what happened? The enemy thought he was going to stay in that region. But Jesus came and he said, they came to Jesus. Are you getting this morning? Oh, come on. The Bible says, let your light, Matthew 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Why is this story in here? Why does Mark record this text? Because he's given us an example. Jesus has already made a way. Come on, Jesus has already made a way. How many of y'all know his home was not only changed, but the whole area was changed? When you're home, get your home in order. Because I'm telling you, I believe, just like the enemy tried to get in that region, I believe the Spirit of God can pour into your neighbor's home. Amen. If the enemy can do it, how much more can God do some things? Pour it into others. How many of y'all want revival? You want revival? Amen. Come on, let's be a light. He's given us steps. He's given us things to do. If that's you that needs deliverance, I want to encourage you this. I'll never stop doing an altar call. Well, Pastor, that's weird. Well, it may be to you. But I'm here to tell you, when people run to Jesus, people get set free. They get set free. How many of y'all want freedom in your house? Freedom in your life? Oh, thank you, Lord. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, you say, you know what, Pastor? I'm in this room today, and I can honestly tell you this. That I'm a sinner. I'm away from the Lord. I don't know Jesus. I may not be as crazy as the madman of Gadara, but I can honestly tell you that there's some things in my life that I have that I'm not proud of. There's things in my life that I've turned my back on God. There's things in my life that I've turned away from Him. I've said some things. I've snorted some things up my nose. I've drank some things. I've shot things into my arms. I've looked at some things. I've done things that I know on the inside of me that I'm not supposed to do. But this morning, you talked about this deliverer. In the room, I sense His presence. During the praise and worship, I felt Him in this house. If you're in here and you say, you know what, there's a nudging on your life. If you're away from the Lord, maybe at one time you knew Him, but you can honestly say right now you're away from God. I believe today that there is deliverance that can come to your home, to your situation, in your family. You can be set free. The Bible tells us this, admit that you're a sinner. The Bible tells us that we're all have fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us to believe with our mouth the Lord Jesus, that He died on the cross and on the third day rose again. He'd come live on the inside of us. He also tells us to confess Him as our Lord and as our Savior. As you admit, believe, and confess Him as your Lord, I believe the power of God will go into operation. He'd come live on the inside of you. So if that's you this morning, you want to pray that prayer. Ask Jesus to come live on the inside of you. If that's you, pray this after me. Say, Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner, that I'm separated from You. Today I believe that You died, You were buried, and on the third day You rose again. I confess You as my Lord and my Savior. Make me new today. Set me free. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.